The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
He doesn't think you're a racist.
He does. He's just seen me say to a black woman, "You're not allowed to sit in this bus." It's like that whole racism and a bus incident all over again.
What, the Rosa Parks incident?
It wasn't in a park. It was on a bus.
Sure. He doesn't think you're a racist. And even if he does, which he doesn't, he's wrong, because you're not. Don't worry about it.
I know, but what if I am and I don't know it? What if I kind of subconsciously am a little bit racist?
Well, there is that test I can give you.
What test?
The racism test, the one they give you when you join the council to make sure you're not a racist. It's a...
I've never heard of it.
Yeah. Do you want to do it?
Yeah.
Just 10 questions.
Go on,
yeah. Right, you've got to answer just totally honestly, okay? Just relax, don't you? You've got nothing to worry about, unless you are a racist. What's question one? Question one is, who would you rather see with their shirt off? Brad Pitt or Sir Trevor MacDonald?
Brad Pitt, obviously.
Obviously.
What?
No, I can't say anything till the end. Just... Right, question two, this is about racial awareness, because often you catch out a real racist because they don't know or care about any black issues. Who's the Prime Minister of Great Britain?
Tony Blair.
Correct. Who is the Prime Minister of Namibia?
I don't know.
You knew the white one. Okay. Oh dear. Who is the Queen of England?
Queen Elizabeth II.
Correct. Who is the President of Djibouti?
This is ridiculous. I've never even heard of blooming Djibouti.
Oh, please do not ridicule the totally valid African language, please. Right, next question. Who would you rather have waiting for you when you got home tonight? Johnny Depp or O.J. Simpson?
Johnny Depp, because of the murder thing.
Because of the murder thing. I think you'll find that Mr. O.J. Simpson was acquitted, but in your eyes, because he's black, he's still guilty.
People still think he is guilty.
Racist people still think he's guilty.
I'm not a racist.
Well, I'm just going by the test.
Listen to me, I'm trying to get off with a black person.
Yes, but according to you, you wouldn't want him waiting for you in your house when you got home tonight.
Only because I would go, "How did you get in here?"
Ooh, now he's breaking and entering as well. Fascist.
Right, I'm going to go and ask him out now.
Well, hold on.
Watch.
Tell him you had a hate rating of 9.8, one more than Hitler.
Watch, I'm going now.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH, I'm Andy, your host. Today is Sunday, so it's time for the Limeys for a show entitled The One with the Enoch Powell Policy being implemented by Keir Starmer. So let's get going. Let's timestamp the show. It is 10:03 a.m. here in London, in the UK, this Sunday, December the 8th, 2024. And for you live listeners out there on radiosoapbox.com, today's show title, The One with the Enoch Powell Policy being implemented by Keir Starmer, I'm not going to say the sir, is something I will be getting into later in the show. And today's show image is of Prince William being carried around on a throne, which you will be able to view on achshow.com around half an hour after this show comes to an end. And the show intro segment was the audio of a TikTok video entitled Ricky Gervais and the Racism Test, taken from his Extras sitcom, the video of which will be available in the post for this show at achshow.com. And I have a feeling that that was the one from the Samuel L. Jackson episode, which I believe was the first episode of the first series. But I may be wrong. I do have all of them on DVD. That's because they never released them on Blu-ray, folks. I think the only Ricky Gervais series you can get on Blu-ray is Life's Too Short, which is the one starring Warwick Davis, which is a little bit like Extras and has its very funny moments. And also the An Idiot Abroad, which was more really a production job with starring Carl Pilkington, which is well worth a watch if you haven't seen that before either. And I do see that around on my travels. So, you know, don't go to Amazon to buy it or anything. It's the sort of thing that you might find in a charity shop. Or check eBay, something like that. You might be surprised at getting it for a low price if it's something that interests you. It's the only travel program that's ever really interested me. It has quite a lot of humour in it. Okay, so I didn't have any strange bedfellows. I haven't for a few weeks, but I've come up with a couple. And that is yesterday's Inside the Eye Live, presented by Dennis Fetcho, and an episode of Midsummer Murders from the first series entitled Faithful Unto Death, which is over 25 years old. Basically, I'll be spending, after I've done this show, I will be alternating between listening to Dennis's show and watching this Midsummer Murders episode, simply because whenever I'm doing something, you know, like having my lunch or what have you, I'm in front of my computer and I'll be going through the Daily Mail looking for any stories for next week's episode, The Limeys, what have you, and that's when I'll be listening to a radio show. And as Dennis is the one I've got queued up, it'll be that. And then when I have time off, I go over to the layout to my bedroom and watch the television, and so I will be watching that episode. I've started delving into older stuff again because I have still got loads of CSI, the normal Las Vegas one and the Miami one to watch, and lots of Criminal Minds, but they're the only series I've got left to get through. Law and Order, I wouldn't buy any more of them. It's such a politically correct motivated show. It's just, I ended up fast-forwarding through a lot of episodes. It's just like an indoctrination program, each episode. It's very difficult to find something that's actually just drama for the sake of drama. So that proved to be a disappointment. As you know, there's nothing new that I like to watch. And also, there are things, someone sent me something about Walker Ranger or something like that. And it's quite expensive, and if I've never seen any of them, I don't really want to go out and spend a lot of money on something that I might not like. So I'm kind of happy to go through some of my older stuff. I did look, I thought, let's have another look at The X-Files, and I got out Series 1, and I looked, just looking at the titles, and I knew all the episodes so well. And then I got out Series 2, and I was looking through again, I just thought, give it up. But fortunately, I do have a copy, which appears to be quite rare now because it was going for a fair bit of money, I think, on Amazon. But The Lone Gunman, which was a spin-off series of The X-Files, a proper spin-off because it was those three strange characters that helped Mulder out now and then, the conspiracy theory guys, which wouldn't necessarily be strange to the likes of you and me, but certainly could be deemed as such. They did a spin-off series, only lasted 13 episodes. That was the one with the episode in which a plane was hijacked to fly into the World Trade Center. And that went out in 2001, but before the attacks. So I think I'll start working my way through them and see if they're any good. I wasn't that enamoured with them the first time round, but it might be better the second, mightn't it? And so anyway, I just want to draw your attention to today's traditional Christian message entitled The Parables of Jesus 7, The Good Samaritan, which is a 6-minute message that is now available on achshow.com. Now, whilst in the UK more and more people are frightened of expressing their opinions in real life or online in case they end up in jail, let's look at what's been going on in the UK legal system in the past week, and in particular some of the people who avoided jail recently, presumably because they presented a lesser risk to the public than those expressing opinions that the authorities do not like. First up, Kent Online. Teenager avoids jail after stabbing schoolgirl in sitting board. Next, Northern Ireland teacher avoids jail who was, sorry, I haven't written down the source for this, I'm afraid. It's probably Belfast Live. That's where I get a lot of these things from Northern Ireland. But the headline is, Northern Ireland teacher who was infatuated with pupil he sexually assaulted avoids jail. But if you just were interested in reading that story, if you just type that into, just the first few words of that, into Google. I'll say it again, Northern Ireland teacher who was infatuated with pupil he sexually assaulted avoids jail. Then the headline should come up as your sort of top result. It's only people that they like to censor that they don't tend to get. You know, you have to get a search term absolutely dead on correct for people that they don't like. And even then, they might not put it on there. So next we've got the Basingstoke Gazette. Man who had indecent images of children avoids jail. Then we've got Hello Rayo, former Cheshire police staff member, avoids jail over child sex offence. The Sun, army predator. Female soldier, 21, who followed colleague into loo, that's the toilet in the UK, pinned her against wall and sexually assaulted her, avoids jail. Thetford and Brandon Times. Never heard of that one before. Fatal crash driver who veered into oncoming traffic spared jail. Then we've got Belfast Telegraph. Belfast pensioner paedophile who viewed extreme porn is spared jail. The Daily Mail. Violent criminal who was let out of jail under Labour's early release scheme is wanted by police after removing his GPS tag. Then we've got the Belfast Telegraph again. Marketing executive avoids jail over child sexual abuse images. Malvern Observer. Woman avoids jail after string of shoplifting offences in Malvern. Then we've got the Yorkshire Evening Post. Arsonist who tried to torch Leeds flat for a second time. Bear in mind, folks, that arson can carry life imprisonment. So this was the second time they did it. Avoids jail despite judges' concerns. Well, I thought they had the power to jail people. They certainly, you know, I'd be more concerned about someone like that than somebody who shouted something at a protest against three toddlers being killed. But, you know, there you go. Next, STV News. Students spared jail for vandalising cabinet containing Stone of Destiny. And this was apparently a protest against food poverty. Then we've got the BBC. Niece who stole £200,000 from uncle avoids jail. And, by the way, she used the money to buy drugs. £200,000 worth. Well, she must have been off her face. Then we've got the Courier. Dixons of Perth boss dodges jail sentence for driving while banned for fourth time. So I think I mentioned before that some police officer mentioned to me when I was in the police that if you drive on a ban, then you're most likely to go to jail. So more likely than not to go to jail. So when was I in the police? 2002 to 2006. So, you know, at some point around 20 years ago, I was told that. And the reason was, which I didn't agree with, because it was really the vanity of the magistrate or the judge. Basically, you've disobeyed what they've told you you have to do, and they take offence to that, and so they throw you in jail as, like, not so much a deterrent, but how dare you not obey me type of attitude. Do you know what I mean? So when I heard that at the time, I thought, you know, this is a bit pompous. But when you look at it now, a guy that's actually he's been driving while banned for the fourth time, I mean, in the context of what we saw earlier in the year with people being jailed for, you know, saying something in the heat of the moment on Facebook, you know, woman in her 50s, grandmother, stuff like that. It's just remarkable why we are, how we are, rather, where we are. But I believe that this is a communist regime that we're living under in this country. And I'll expand on that in a minute. We've got this one, Daily Mail. Rotherham rapist who attacked and tortured victims as young as 11 is freed from jail after serving just 9 years of 19-year sentence. And finally, Daily Mail. More criminals will be spared jail to cope with shortfall of 12,400 prison spaces. Offenders will live under house arrest and wear tags, with Labour's early release scheme set to continue for years. And this brings me back to the communism side of things. They need to free the jail spaces up for the people that represent a threat to the communist regime. But another aspect that they do with communism is that they let out violent criminals. And so the people are more worried about encountering them on their streets than what their communist government is doing to them. So this scheme of letting these people out and locking up people for saying things that the communist regime doesn't like is a win-win for them. So that is why we're seeing what we're seeing. Next, I'm going to have a little drink of water. On that note, it's strange. I always need to drink more water on the Limey show than I do on the Saturday show. And yesterday I realised I'd done the whole show. It was about 33, 34 minutes and I hadn't had a drink of water once. And I think it's something to do with that show is less scripted than this. And when you're reading off a page, you tend to, this happens to me, I tend to get more thirsty. Even though I'd be speaking the same amount of time. In fact, you're more likely to speak more when you're not doing a script because you don't sort of, you tend to speak slower with a script and things like that. So that was just something I thought I was thinking about earlier. Why is that? I thought about that yesterday. I'm always reaching for the water because giving it, what happens? I've got the bottle of water next to me and the glass of water. Now, I don't really want the bottle of water there because I like my water cold. And by the time the show ends, the bottle of water, whatever's left in it, is going to be not like it's out the fridge. It's going to be sort of, yeah, approaching lukewarm. So I'm like, will the glass of water last me the show? Well, I don't even think of that on the Saturday show. I know a full glass of water is enough, and it tends to be pretty much full by the time I finish. So I don't know. That's something that just went through my mind earlier. And another thing that I should have mentioned a couple of weeks ago, as one of the delights of being me in the last week. I think it was about 3-4 weeks ago, I was leaving my mother's house, and last thing I do is I grab my glasses and my water from the kitchen side and go out the door and put the burglar alarm and get in the car and off I go. Well, when I went in there to do that, because I'd been loading up the car, there was a wasp in the kitchen, and I was in a hurry, and this was like well after wasp season, and I'd like to have sort of got him out and stuff like that, but, you know, I was in a hurry, that was that, and so I thought, you know, that thing is not going to last the week, but anyway, there you go. So I got there, that would have been the Thursday morning, went back the following Wednesday, completely didn't have any memory of this, and was there a few hours, and suddenly, in the kitchen, I see this wasp, obviously dead, on the floor in the corner by one of the built-in cabinets, you know. So I thought, oh, I'll pick it up, put it in the bin. I remember that now, I've forgotten about it. And I thought, actually, let's get something, you know, a bit of card to put it on to pick it up that way. So I go and put this card underneath it. It starts moving, it's still alive. Been in there nearly a week. So that was when I had to get another piece of card and do what reminded me, stamp on it, which reminds me of a very unfortunate headline that I think the Sun ran in the 1980s. There was some earthquake somewhere and a freeway or a road, a bridge had fallen on top of another bridge. And obviously the people in the cars on the bridge that the other bridge had fallen on were killed, and they had the headline Sandwich of Death, and that is what happened to, well, actually I think he will probably feel quite fortunate that it happened to him, this wasp, and that was but I just couldn't believe the thing was still alive after 6 days, you know, in that house. So well, getting on for seven, isn't it? Okay, so let's have a weekly look at the BBC, or rather our weekly look at the BBC Verify website, and see if the BBC have verified whether or not a member of their team, Mariana Spring, lied on her CV, as the Daily Mail reported in their November the 20th, 2024 article entitled BBC's Truth-Checking Unit Under Fire for Quietly Deleting Statement After Saying Government Was Right About Number of Farmers to Be Hit by Inheritance Tax Raid. So I haven't opened this, folks. The Daily Mail, I go into every day for you. So all the articles that I get, I do it because I find them interesting and think that you will. So it's kind of, I do this so you don't have to. And as I say, after this show, when I have my lunch, I will be going through the Daily Mail top to bottom, as I do every day that I have my lunch. That is when I do it. But here is the BBC Verify website. So let's scroll down. Right, so we go to the latest updates, which is about a third of the way down the show. Let's go down to... So we don't cover what we were covering last week. Oh, it looks like there's quite a lot here. All right, well, I can see that. There's one from the 29th of November, so it's the 8th today of December, so we obviously covered that last week. And the first one here is the 2nd of December, so I'll just read the oldest first from the 2nd of December. We got, what has Joe Biden said in the past about pardoning his son? Then we've got BBC Verify tracks week of rebel advances in Syria. I heard earlier that, I looked at the BBC headline and apparently they've taken Damascus and the Assad regime has fled. So it looks like another colour revolution for that country. Then we've got why misinformation about a cow feed additive prompted people to throw milk away. Then will Keir Starmer be able to meet his new pledges? The Starmer pledges that will be hard to hit. Then we've got Ross Atkins on how the New York shooting unfolded. I'll be getting into that a bit later. Tracking Syrian rebels, lightning offensive as they approach key city. And then Syria in maps, where have anti-Assad rebels taken control? And that is, just says 9:04 a.m. So, that's presumably today, because there's no date next to it. That would make it just over an hour old. Okay, so I will be including a link to the BBC Verify page in the post for this show, which you can find at achshow.com. Okay, so now let me share with you the delights of being me in the last week. I didn't stay at my mum's last week because that was when I took Peter was off, so I took Amanda to see my mother. And whereas the week before was when it was freezing, it went down to, you know, freezing temperature, 0 degrees Celsius, whatever, in the night, and I woke up. Oh, it was a nightmare. I had to put the heating on, and I think I've known other people this happens to, but if you leave the heating on overnight, you wake up generally blocked up with a headache, and that's what happened to me. And it wasn't like a really bad headache, but it was just hanging around all day. I didn't really go until I went to bed on the Thursday night at my flat, then woke up on the Friday morning. Well, she's got a strange bed in her room. There's a mattress, and the top part of it, it's not like a mattress protector, it's built in, but it's like almost a layer of like something along the top, and that attracted all the cold. So what I did was to sort of prepare for going to bed was I had the heating on through the day, but I also put one of the, you know, plug-in convector electric heater in the room, left that on, closed the doors, so it really warmed the room up, and took the duvet off the bed and the pillows so that the heat would warm the bed up too. Put the duvet in the airing cupboard to warm it up in there. And then just before I went to bed, I turned all those things off, hoping that that will keep me warm enough through the night. Well, it did work, but I still, even with the heating off, the fact that I'd had it building up in the room with the door closed, but I woke up the next day with a bit of a headache, a bit annoyed, but not as annoyed as I was going to be when I went to leave my mum's house, as I do on a Thursday morning, grab my glasses, grab my water, set the alarm, go out to the, press the button to open the garage door, keep pressing it, wouldn't open. Looked, all sorts of stuff. I think I mentioned a few weeks ago I had to have someone in to fix it because I had a problem. Well, that was when it wouldn't open when the car wasn't in it. But this time the car was in it, which is a lot more annoying because I want to get away. I've got things to do. And anyway, fortunately, the guy turned up. I phoned the company and they sent out a... they said, this guy's really good. He's one of the foremen, so he sort of tells other people what to do. And he... Essentially, what had happened is it had jammed on one of the... on the frame, one side, the door had sort of caught on it. And there were things that you could pull and stuff like that, you know, to... But I didn't know what they were, and you don't want to do it in case you break it, you know what I mean? So I just said, look, just be patient. Hopefully he'll turn up soon. I think I called about just after 10, and I think he turned up about 11:30. But, yeah, he showed me what to do to open the thing manually when it happens again and how to reset it. It just sort of knocked itself out, and then it realigns the door and stuff like that. So... it was annoying, and when I've been at my mum's that time, I work really hard while I'm there, sorting stuff out. I'm getting through it, but we're still looking well into the new year before it's going to be in a position to rent out after I've been through everything. And, you know, given away what we can to charity shops and, you know, sold what we can to the auction house. I still haven't bought them in because I haven't been through everything. There's no point bringing them in until, you know, I know what's what and where's what. You know, that type of thing. But I don't enjoy being there. I wish I was doing these shows full time instead. But I'm not just her son, I'm her attorney. And I have a, you know, legal duty to look after her affairs as best as I can. And that is what I'm doing. And whilst it would be very tempting to just say, oh, blow it, let's just get a house clearance done. And, you know, if there are things in there worth money, well, so be it. You know what I mean? I take this, you know, responsibility seriously. So I just stick my shows on, as I do most days, all the shows I download, and then just go to work doing all this stuff. So I tend to listen to... I don't watch any television at my mum's. I'm just, you know, I even got the lawn done when I was there. I thought it'd be the final cut. I did it about 4 weeks before in November. I checked my diary. But basically... it was cold, but not really wet, so I could see there'd been some growth, and there was still a lot of leaves as well, so I kind of, you know, was quite happy at the end of it, knowing that I'm not going to have to go back to doing that until, hopefully, late March, maybe even early April. Give myself a bit of time off of gardening. I really don't enjoy that too much. Okay, so as of December the 1st, 2022, we have a total of 2,362 people having died after taking the fake vaccine and 474,018 people having been injured after taking the fake vaccine. These figures were published on the British government's website page entitled Coronavirus COVID-19 Vaccine Adverse Reactions and were aggregated from the totals of the five vaccine analysis prints linked to on that page. I say were because the British government are no longer publishing these, as whilst their website page still exists, the five vaccine analysis prints have now been deleted from it, so I have absolutely no idea of the official figures today. Okay, so now it's time for this week's Viruses and Vaccines, in which I give you a rundown of all the health-related stories I've encountered in the past week. Here we go, folks. Well, there was a conspiracy one, which I'm going off memory. I haven't... scripted it. Few people like Mike Adams touched on this, that some Dr. Hotez or something, and I think that they've got something on the People's Voice Rumble channel as well about this, that they're planning to release loads of pandemics when Trump gets into power. Well, in my opinion, and it's supposed to disrupt the Trump presidency. Well, I don't, if they do it, I don't think it's supposed to disrupt the Trump presidency. Dustin Nemo said that was the purpose of the Trump presidency. He'd promised to lock her up, but he locked you down. That's one of his, and that's one of his sound bites. He comes up with a lot. And we look at the sort of cabinet that he's been building, which contains a lot of people who have interests in pharmaceuticals and, you know, were involved with, some say, the lockdown previously, things like that. So it seems like the first one could have been a test run for the big one. That's the feeling in the independent media, which I don't tend to touch on here. I cover the independent media on the Saturday show, but I want to throw that in this particular section because it is worth mentioning. But going back to the mainstream media, Mail Plus, it's an ethical minefield, but would you put your poorly baby through an experimental drug trial if it could save them? These parents did, so do they think the risks were worth it? ... And it's a Mail Plus, so I can't tell you any more than the headline. And that's another thing I've noticed. They're really ramping up this Mail Plus stuff. From since they introduced it, when it was a handful of articles, it's getting more and more and more. So you can see where they're wanting to go with this. I believe they want to turn the Daily Mail into a largely subscription-only based news source, but, you know, which kind of contradicts what I've said in the past about, you know, doing this section of articles that didn't end up behind their Mail Plus paywall because, you know, they still want some sort of propaganda out there. But you could say the same about YouTube. You know, why ban all these people from YouTube? Then a certain, you know, personality of listener won't go there anymore, so you can't propagandize them. But they kind of, well, would just funnel them into another area, which is something else we'll be getting into later. So that could be, you know, a bit like in the UK, what you have at all the stations is you have a free newspaper. Now, that only came in probably quite a few years ago, probably a decade or maybe more now, but it seems like a few years ago to me. It's called the Metro. And you just pick it up at the station, and it is like a paper. You get the similar sort of stories. It's not as big as like the Daily Mail that you would pay for, hard copy paper, but it's pretty much got a rundown of the same stories that's got in it, the important ones. It's up to date. It's a daily paper. Well, Monday to Friday, didn't come out at weekends. It's basically made for the commuter market, which is why you just pick it up at stations for free. They could do the same thing online. They could make the Daily Mail a subscription-based paper and launch, oh, we've got this Metro Online, or they probably already have. I think I have quoted articles from it. But have something else that they could send people to where they could propagandise them and still make money out of the people who want the Daily Mail. We will see. I'm only pointing out that, as you know, I go in every day and I've definitely seen a sharp increase in recent weeks in the amount of Mail Plus articles compared to how it was when they bought that Mail Plus thing in earlier in the year. Okay, so next we've got the Daily Mail again. Millions to be denied NHS fat jabs as treatment is limited to just 220,000 people. Fewer than 1 in 10 patients would meet criteria. And we always talk about the best rated articles on the Daily Mail. So I picked out the top two worst rated comments. Yeah, I meant comments on articles. So here they are as of 3 or 4 days when I picked them out. First up, Shark Icicle Pike in the Netherlands. Fat people have no discipline or grown-up life skills. Giving them a drug will make no long-term difference because they will still eat too much. There were very few obese people until 20 years ago. It's pure self-indulgence. Next, Jochar, 61, in the UK. For most, being very overweight is not an illness. It is gluttony. Typically, people do as they please and expect the NHS to fix them for free. Many are too lazy to do anything about it and would happily take the easy way of popping a pill at the NHS's cost, which affects us all. They need to change their lifestyle, stop their benefits and make them pay for the drug. It may not change their lifestyle desires, but they will have less to spend on their poor diet. You hesitate with comments like this as well. You think, oh, am I going to get a knock on the door that somebody who was overweight complained? Well, that's what the comment said. I don't really have an opinion on the subject. I've known people that were overweight who've been friends of mine, and Tex Mars used to make a point of, you know, he could be a hell of a lot thinner than he is and stuff like that, make a joke of it and what have you. My attitude towards it is, I mentioned about trying all these different things I used to have for breakfast, and one thing that I had was cereals, and I noticed my weight going up and up and up really rapidly, and so I stopped because I noticed it happening, and that was the change that I'd, you know, what I'd changed in my eating habits, and so I cut it out. Funnily enough, I've got, that reminds me, I've got a load of cereals. I took them to my mother's house because I'm going to throw them out for the burbs when I run out of other things to throw out for them. So, yeah, I'm not kidding. I see that, and I'd like to. I was, at my heaviest, I was about 14 stone, and there's 14 pounds in a stone, so you can work that one out for yourself. I can't, mental arithmetic on the air right now. But basically, I used to just drink 5 or 6 cans of Coke or Pepsi a day. And a friend of mine said, why don't you just have one, and if you want fizzy drinks, have sparkling water. So I did that, and I started doing a bit of exercise as well, and I shed a couple of stone, you know, not overnight, but that really did make a big difference. And to this day, I don't drink the sparkling water anymore because I find that it has a funny twang to it. So I just have the water through the Berkey filter that I bought when the lockdowns came in, because you're not going to get... I used to get loads of water delivered all the time, this sparkling water. The delivery people used to hate me. One guy once turned up, he says, you've outdone yourself today, because I'd ordered all these four times 2 litre packs of sparkling water. But after having the Berkey and thinking, well, you know, just doing this because it's going to be, you can't get home deliveries. I didn't use a car really then or anything. So I had to take a train to a supermarket with a big suitcase and load up what I can in there. That was a sacrifice I had to make, and I was pleased I made it, because the flavour of the water out of a Berkey filter, and not just myself has said this, but other people that I know, it's like, wow, it actually makes it taste nicer too. So that's pretty much most of what I drink each day, apart from the can of Coke I have with my lunch and the beers I have in the mid-afternoon to evening before I go to bed. So that's my attitude towards, if I feel that I'm putting on weight, I look at it. I don't just, you know, whatever, I can't be bothered type of thing. I try and nip it in the bud. And I think that these people would have been far better having that approach rather than just letting themselves go. I used to go on the rowing machine. I've still got it, actually. Used to do that every day. I hated it. It was one of the worst parts of my day, doing, what, 20 minutes on the rowing machine. But I stopped that when I was doing all the gardening, started with my mum last June of last year, 2023, because I was losing a lot of weight and getting fit doing that. And because I'd stopped doing it, I kind of never thought to go back onto it, and I haven't actually put on the weight. I still, you know, do... I exercise by going out walking to accomplish something else. You know, I don't say, well, I'm going to go out for a walk now because I need a bit of exercise. It's always because I'm meeting Amanda, or I'm going over to eat here or whatever. And fortunately, I've been able to keep my weight down without getting back on that dreadful rowing machine. Okay, so finally in this section, it's Mail Plus again. Here's the proof anti-vaxxers have got it wrong. It's not, in capitals, the COVID jab making people ill, says Professor Rob Galloway. My comments. I'm very surprised this is behind the Mail Plus paywall, as it sounds like one of their propaganda pieces, which makes me think Galloway's opinion may struggle against the potentially vitriolic nature of the Daily Mail comment section, as I demonstrated some moments ago. Okay, the next section, I want to talk about something. It's about censorship, and I just touched upon that, you know, these comments made in the Daily Mail. Well, they're in the Daily Mail, they're already in the public domain. I don't think you're going to have a knock on the door that a fat person complained, but it goes through your mind. Another example I covered in the legal part of the show, the two people, students, part of a food poverty group, go and smash up a cabinet containing some of our ancient history, which really annoys me no end. You know, sitting down in roads, stopping people from driving, all that sort of stuff. I'm not happy with the way things go in the world, so I've written books and I do these shows to expose what's going on. You know, and if people don't want to listen to it and they don't believe me, well, that's fine. That's up to them. I don't sit in front of their car until they adopt my point of view or smash up their heritage. And so with that in mind, I was listening to the, not the BCFM politics show with Tony Gosling and Martin Summers yesterday, and they got onto the subject of the Novichok poisonings of the Skripals in Salisbury. And we were told it was on the door handle, and then they were talking about how there was speculation that it might have actually happened in Azizi's restaurant that they were eating in. And I was looking up stories on that, and all the mainstream stories, actually, they did close that restaurant for a significant period of time to completely decontaminate it. So something had gone on there, but they claim that it's so sort of poisonous or what have you, they got it off their doorknob at home, and they'd gone into the restaurant, and of course anything that they touched was, you know, potentially lethal to other people. But I was going to make a joke about these food poverty people, who I can't stand that sort of protest, as I said, that if they are interested in food, maybe they should try Azizi's Novichok bruschetta. But what went through my mind was, well, you know, could Zizi's, I mean, they wouldn't come after you. They'd only come after you because it's like, oh, we've got an opportunity to get this person. You know, if someone else said it on who didn't have the beliefs I have, it wouldn't happen to that person. They're just looking for an opportunity. And so I didn't do it. It was in the script and I was thinking about it. And then I thought, well, maybe if I change it to Salisbury Novichok bruschetta, then I've not got this company called Zizi in there. You know, I can't imagine Salisbury. And then I thought, well, again, it'll be, oh, you know, someone died in that. You can't make jokes about that and all these sort of things. And it just, this is how the brain works in the UK these days when you try and come up with creative content. And another story that came up, and this was for different reasons. There was a story about some cult. They've done a mass suicide somewhere in the world. And I was going to make the comment that sounds like they were trying to keep up with the Joneses. But then I opened the article and it's pretty disgusting what went on, what was done. And, you know, this is the sort of thing that, I don't know if it was like this for you at school, but the latest disaster, who's got the jokes? Where are the jokes? You're just waiting for them to come out. It could be air crashes, boat sinkings, earthquakes, all sorts of stuff. There's going to be people coming out with all these jokes at school. And it's funny when you're a kid and you can joke about anything. But as you get older, you know, you don't know who's been through what. And so regardless of censorship laws in the UK, this is an age thing, whether we had full free speech or not. You tend to be a little bit more careful anything that you might say that, you know, you could be joking about something that actually happened to somebody else that you, you know, is a friend or whatever, and you don't want to upset. You know, the purpose of telling a joke is to make people laugh, not upset people. So that was just something I just wanted to share with you there. And I think I'll have another little drink of water. Okay, so this is the biggest part of the show. The time for some of this week's Daily Mail articles that didn't end up behind their Mail Plus paywall, which, as the Daily Mail is the most visited news website in the world, gives us an insight into what they, whoever they are, want us to be thinking and talking about. First up, the sexist rule threatening to bring down Japan's royal family as the imperial house faces extinction. Basically, they've only got female heirs, and I wasn't that interested in the article, but they've had to kind of, you know, not go the direct route like in the UK obviously Prince William is next in line to the throne to King Charles, and then after that is, I think, his son George, what have you. They don't want to give it to a woman. So we had Queen Elizabeth here, we had Queen Victoria, but they haven't had that in Japan. So, yeah, if that interests you, you can look it up. Next, as Formula One announces a brand new team, will we see a female driver on the grid? Meet the contenders who could make history, including McLaren's TikTok starlet and the British champion in waiting. And then we've got Stablehand, who is suing after claiming her arm was crippled in fall from dangerous horse, is caught playing rugby. And this is a story some people may have a problem with for a number of reasons. Read it if you wish. Next, Premier League's LGBT rainbow civil war. Devout Christian England star Mark Guhi gets FA warning for scrawling "I love Jesus" on equality armband, that's a rainbow armband, while Muslim star at rival club refused to wear his. And then we've got chaos at Man United. As devout Muslim player refuses to wear rainbow jacket, forcing club to ditch plans and angering his teammates in third LGBT pride controversy to hit the Premier League this week. Then we've got new UK nuclear plants are the only way to produce the massive clean power needed to put the country at the heart of the AI revolution, Tony Blair's think tank warns. And this guy clearly learned nothing from Fukushima. And funnily enough, I was listening to a show earlier, which I'll be getting into on next Saturday's I'm Talking to You show. And the guy basically said, there's no such thing as AI. It's the beast system that's run by Satan. And I would add on to it, and his minions, the synagogue of Satan, today. And I don't rule that out at all. I think that if you really want to know what's coming next, don't look at the independent media, look at the prophetic books of the Bible, look at the book of Revelation, see where you think we are, and see what's told is coming up. That's the most accurate. There you have it. So then we've got transgender star Alex Consarni is crowned the Model of the Year of over five shortlisted women at British Fashion Awards in London. And not wishing to be outdone, fury as BBC includes transgender Colombian scientist in annual list of 100 inspiring women, days after corporation faced backlash over its Women's Footballer of the Year award. I didn't even look that up. I dread to think what went on there. And then we've got rail firm accuses passenger of being transphobic after they queried cost of £58,000 Pride train paint job. Try saying that fast. Then we've got UK defence industry to hold first of its kind war game, simulating troops under intense fire. And unfortunately, they don't provide the date for this war game in the article. Whilst I've had enough of people in the independent media predicting dates for some cataclysmic event that never happens, there have been quite a few terrible events in history that have taken place on the same day that a drill was taking place. 9/11 and 7/7 bombings come to mind. Next, my bike was stolen from outside the New Scotland Yard building. I'll put that in because they didn't, and the Metropolitan Police did nothing about it. They wouldn't even watch the CCTV or track the bike's GPS. And I imagine those of you who've been listening to this show over the last few weeks will be experiencing a feeling of deja vu right about now. Next, one vehicle stolen every 5 minutes in England and Wales in 2024, police data reveals. And then we've got Labour is warned their inheritance tax raid will devastate family-run companies as well as farms. Now, this was something that Martin Summers mentioned a couple of weeks ago on the Not the PCFM Politics Show, and I only mention it because that was where I first heard it, that the farms thing is just a kind of red herring, because it's all these stately homes that have got, they've managed to pass them down by having the, how can I put it, they've got enough area there that they can say is farming, so they can pass them down outside of inheritance tax. So it's basically a great big land grab, and that is what this headline would would illustrate too. And my comment is, so it's going to hit family-run businesses a bit like COVID did, when they were unable to open if they had been deemed non-essential, which certainly didn't hit corporate businesses anywhere near as hard. Oh, and in case you hadn't heard, Keir Starmer met with BlackRock Chief Executive Larry Fink in Downing Street recently. Just saying. And again, if you really want to get a lot of money, then why don't you go after these trusts that the bankers set up, where they are able to pass all their assets on without paying any tax, and that's where not only the real money is, but where the money is created out of nothing. That's going to be your big target where you get the most money, unless, of course, that is for some reason off-limits to the government, as Liz Truss experienced when she said that the Prime Minister could be fired, but the Governor of the Bank of England could not. Okay. Right, so it's locking up here. Okay, where are we? Next, nearly a quarter of nurses and midwives working in the UK are now recruited from abroad, figures reveal. Ooh, so in other words, Labour are adopting a policy first introduced by Enoch Powell in the 1960s, but I doubt we'll hear the left complaining about that or the right reminding us of it. And then we've got more than 700 exams to allow foreign nurses to work in the UK were completed fraudulently in four-year Nigerian test centre scam. Civil servants on the front line of tackling the small boats crisis to be given their own well-being room in case they feel stressed or anxious. The top 100 baby names in England and Wales revealed as Mohammed becomes the most popular boy name. Then we've got Ford's UK boss demands substantial taxpayer subsidies for electric vehicles as sales fall below aggressive government targets to phase out petrol and diesel motors by 2030. So this spat over electric vehicles is still going on. The government doesn't want to give way on these targets, and so the manufacturers are getting annoyed because they're being fined for not selling enough cars that people obviously don't want. So we'll see if the impasse can be broken. I will continue to watch that space. And finally, terrifying cancer risk of trendy wood-burning stoves, as experts warn they are UK's biggest source of dangerous air pollution. And one can only wonder to whom these experts owe their allegiances. Okay, so I'm going to get into our topic section now. I've scripted all this, so I've got a fair bit to read. So I'll have a little drink. We've got 8 minutes left. Excuse me. Hopefully we can get it all in. Okay, so the topic section this week, I talked about YouTube earlier. It kind of links in with that. Video platforms, that's our topic section. In David Goldberg's final words that was allegedly recorded in June of 2019, which you can still find on BitChute, David talks about two ongoing programs, Project Pogo and Project Cypher. He claims Project Pogo identifies people the powers that be do not like via the types of videos they comment upon, and Project Cypher is designed to use that information to round up those people that the powers that be do not like. I should say the powers that should not be. Excuse me. As YouTube purged the content creators they did not want a long time ago, what are the other platforms where they went to? I can think of only three: BitChute, Odyssey and Rumble. Whilst I get content from these three platforms on a regular basis and have not experienced any issues with them, based upon what David Goldberg claimed in relation to Project Pogo, I will never comment upon any of their videos in the comment sections, and I would certainly not register a subscription with them. I won't even sign up for a BBC account, despite how annoying that pop-up is you get saying it's better when you sign in after you click on two or three articles each day. I did actually listen to David Goldberg's final words again last Sunday, for the first time in many years, as he made a lot of references to Donald Trump in that 26-minute, 14-second presentation, and as what he claimed was coming via Project Cypher, the rounding up of all the dissidents by 2021, which didn't happen. I was wondering if what he said could still happen in the upcoming Trump presidency based upon some of his questionable cabinet picks and allegiances. I was left undecided, but if you listened to David Goldberg's final words before and found it to be interesting, it is worth listening to it again in light of what I just said, so you can come to your own conclusion. Just be sure to get the original 26-minute, 14-second presentation, as there are many longer ones out there that may have been tampered with. There was one that even claimed the David Goldberg that was speaking was a completely different David Goldberg, which... it just couldn't possibly be that person, but I'm not going to get into that because it's a red herring and we're running out of time. Also, don't forget the Deagle.com predictions of drastic reductions in the population of many Western countries in 2025. So I guess that gives us just over a year left until the end of December 2025, by which time we will be able to determine if these Deagle predictions were true or false. If they are true, being as the UK was projected to experience a 78% drop in their population, it is unlikely I will be around to make that determination. But like David Goldberg's final words, the Deagle figures are worth looking at again in light of what is going on in the world, and again coming to your own conclusion. Everything I say today on this show, folks, just remember four words: you be the judge. Take it or leave it, but in the end, you be the judge. Okay, so now it's time for the news roundup of the week. Here we go, folks. First up, BBC. What a new photo reveals about the gunman in Brian Thompson killing. To which my initial reaction was, oh no, the alien bounty hunter from the X-Files is dead. But guess what, folks? It turned out to be a very different Brian Thompson. Next, Daily Mail. Can I marry my mother-in-law to avoid Rachel Reeves' inheritance tax raid? Financial experts reveal all. And I will now read from the article to explain how this could work. The plan is to divorce my wife and marry her elderly divorced mother. When my new wife, ex-mother-in-law, passes away, I would be able to inherit her estate tax-free. I could then gift my newly inherited assets to my first wife or our children, in the hope and expectation that I won't myself pass away within 7 years. While estates currently pay 40% tax on assets worth more than £325,000, partners inherit their spouse's wealth without paying tax on it. Marrying your partner's single mother, therefore, would allow you to inherit her assets without paying a penny. So there you go. And finally, Daily Mail. Truly wicked. All the scandals of the 1939 Wizard of Oz. How Judy Garland was drugged and starved in an iron corset. Actors died and one had an eyelid burned off, not to mention the drunken orgies. On that bombshell, you have been listening to The Limeys, episode 197, the one with the Enoch Powell policy being implemented by Keir Starmer. The Limeys will be back with you next Sunday. No Peter this week, so I'll be back with you on Saturday. And until then, folks, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful week, and bye for now.